It happened long ago. I cried out for mercy back then. I pled the blood of Jesus, begged him to forgive my sin. But I still can't forget it. It just won't go away. So I wept again, Lord, wash my sin. But this is all he say. What sin? What sin? And that was as far away as the east is from the west. Amen. What sin? What sin? Well, there is far gone the very minute you confess and buried in the sea of forgetfulness. The heaviest thing you'll carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear them, so give them go, let them go in Jesus' name. Our God is slow to anger, quick to forgive our sin. Amen. So let him put them under the blood, and don't bring them up again. Cause he'll just say, what sin? What sin? Well, they're as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? Well, they were gone the very minute you confessed, buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, please deliver me from my accusing memory. Nothing makes me weep this way as when I hear you say, what sin? What sin? Well, they're as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? Well, it was gone the very minute you confessed, and I buried them in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. Amen.
Amen. What sin? Thank you, brother. I appreciate that special. Amen. What a message that we need to hear. What sin? Amen. And if you are discipling, you're free to go ahead and be excused. You and your disciple E, discipler and disciple E can go ahead and take off. And those of us that are remaining, we're going to go into the book of Acts, Acts chapter 18, and continue our study, I should say. I wish we were finished with that. Acts 18, once you find your place, if you could, go ahead and stand with me. Acts 18, we have graduated out of chapter 17. And we're in chapter 18. Since this is the month of graduation, say that. Am I on, brother? I'm on.
I've got, there we go. My voice doesn't carry. It actually drops, so I need all the boosting I can get. All right, Acts chapter 18, and we're going to do something a little different tonight with this area. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. That's our study area. And then we're going to look at a couple here that I am very, very much in tune with, and I enjoy them and love them. And it's going to be a blessing to me. Hopefully it's going to be a blessing to you as well, as we're going to take just several moments and look at this couple here today. Everybody at Acts 18, say amen. Amen. Any oh me's? Many had a hard day today. Got several, okay. Not that many. Normally all the hands go up. Amen. So this is going to be an easy preaching time then. Praise the Lord. Y'all going to have got a lot of input, right? Okay, amen. We'll see. All right, here we go. Let's read together verses 1, 2, and 3. Here we go. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Amen. So there's the couple that we're going to look at tonight, Aquila and Priscilla. I'm going to point out some things about them. And probably this week and maybe next week, going to look at some instances in their life and try to draw a blessing and glean from this couple's life. Amen. And see some of the things that are there that I believe are in some of the lives here and more lives. I want to be that way as well. So let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you again for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Lord, I do thank you for the people that are being discipled now in other rooms and taking the word of God and training them and showing them what thus saith the word of God, Lord, their next steps as a Christian. And I pray now for us as we're here that, Lord, you would use this time to help us to see more of this family, Aquila and Priscilla. Lord, the things that they bring to a church, things they bring to a ministry, Lord, more importantly, things they bring to the man of God and ultimately to our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, for what they do in the life of a local church. Use this time to instruct us from your word. Lord, may we leave here a little bit more enlightened than we were when we came in. May we be a little different than we were when we came in as well, a little bit more sensitive to the needs of the local church, the man of God, and the ministry that God has given us here at Shining Light Baptist Church. Thank you again for your love toward us. Lord, thank you that our sins are all gone. What a blessing it is to be forgiven in Christ. Use this time, Lord, that the Holy Spirit may instruct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, we have graduated, as I said, from chapter number 18. It seemed like we were on that chapter forever. And just like Paul was glad to get out of Athens, I was glad to get out of chapter 17 as well. Amen. So we're going to look at some things here. We saw a few folks that got saved down there at Athens. Not many, but a few. And after that, Paul left. The question is this. You find down there in verse number 32 of chapter 17. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." How many of y'all, by raising of hand, think that Paul got a second hearing? He probably didn't, because if Paul got a, I mean, you give a preacher a second hearing, they're going to come back. Amen. If you say you want to hear something again, a preacher will come and tell you again. Amen. And you don't find Paul staying. So I think they were probably just words of, you know, trying to make him feel good. He may have gotten a hearing. We don't know. But it says, they said, "We'll hear thee again of this matter." And Paul departed from among them. We saw some folks got saved down there in verse number 34. Then it says in verse number 1 of 18, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And so we don't know whether he got this hearing or not. But let me give you a little bit of background on Corinth. Corinth was a wealthy commercial port city with frequent traders coming in and out. And they brought with them all sorts of wealth. But with wealth, sometimes comes filth. Not always. But oftentimes it does kind of go together, because you've got money, you can buy anything you want to. Amen. And filth doesn't only go with that. And so wealth came and filth came, and the city boasted several things, an outdoor theater that accommodated about 20,000 people. That's a lot of people for back in those days. The city also boasted athletic games that were second only to the Olympic Games. Now, that's pretty good right there, if you can be second to the Olympics. Also, they had a population that consisted of Greeks, Romans, and Oriental population, and others, of course. But then there was something else there, the great temple of Aphrodite. And it was said that they had about 1,000 to 1,500 temple prostitutes that were there used for worship. Now, that's pretty immoral if you want to look at that aspect of it. The way Athens was known for being intellectual, Corinth was known for being immoral. So you put up the intellectual status that Athens possessed, that was the same equivalent of immorality that was at Corinth. And that's the place that Paul is about to go into. Can you imagine yourself going into a place like that where they were known for having all these prostitutes? I mean, would you even fathom going into a place like that? You say, "Preacher, we try to stay far away from places like that." Amen. And you should. Amen. But, Paul is going into this town. There's people in here that need to be saved. By the way, a great church came out of this city. Unlike Athens, a great church came out of this city. Upon entering into Corinth, we see down here that Paul teamed up with a couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. They happened to be of the same craft of tent making, and had recently come from Italy. There was a decree that went out there in verse number 2. He says, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Now, he put that decree out, said that the Jews had to get out. And so we find Aquila and Priscilla here now at Corinth, having come from Rome at this decree. Now, the question remains, how did Paul find them, or did they find Paul? The Bible doesn't say. How did they get saved, or did Paul lead them to Christ? The Bible doesn't say. So you look down here, it says, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So obviously they were the same craft there, and Paul obviously needed some kind of income there. Being a missionary, we know how it is. Being on the mission field, you have some things that you have need of, and sometimes you had to get out and work. Amen. And by the way, Paul was not afraid to work. Amen. Paul was not afraid to work. Amen. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a missionary that won't go out and get a job if he needs some money. Amen. Amen. Hey, they got to get out and get it somehow. Amen. Paul here is kind of getting a little bit of money here. The Jews believed in teaching their sons a trade. So Paul had this on the side in tent making. And he finds Aquila and Priscilla and joins up with them. Now, by the way, every pastor is grateful for a couple like Aquila and Priscilla. Brother, don't you love to have that kind of couple that just come in and what needs to be done, preacher? Get it done. They're faithful. They're on time. They're tithers. They're givers. They're missions givers. They're soul winners. They're just all around encouragers. Amen. Our Brother Thompson, wouldn't you love a church full of those kind of folk? Amen. These Aquilas and Priscillas that come in, it's a husband and wife. They just want to get involved. They just want to do the will of God. They want to do the work of God. They're just Johnny on the spot. Man, every preacher would love a church full of those type of folk. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen. And some of y'all are those folk. Amen. And I'm glad I got those kind of folk here as well. Amen. And that's why we're going to talk about those folk, because I want more of those folk. So every pastor is grateful to God for couples like Aquila and Priscilla who come in, give their hearts, give their hands, give their homes freely to the ministry of God, give their homes, their hearts, and their hands to the ministry of God, and just give themselves over to God to be used of God. Early on in my Christian life, I had a great admiration for this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. They captured my attention very early in my young, saved life. And I noticed a similarity with my relationship with my wife and the relationship with them. And can anybody guess what that similarity might have been? Was that? There's a similarity with this couple that I found that was similar to my wife and I, when we first got saved. Now, we were this way before we even got saved. Anybody know, what is there about Aquila and Priscilla that you find consistent every time their name is mentioned? They're together. They were together. Every time one is mentioned, the other is mentioned. Either Aquila and Priscilla or Priscilla and Aquila. But they're always mentioned together. And that caught my attention early on as a Christian, because everywhere I went, my wife went, and everywhere my wife went, I went. With a few exceptions, amen. But pretty much everywhere we went together. And I fell across this couple, and I said, man, I like what I see in these guys. Every time I see him, I see her. Every time I see her, I see him. And they're always doing something for God. They were always ministering, and they were inseparable. And that caught my attention. Their names were always seen together. They worked as a team. They were always mentioned together in ministry. And that won my heart early on in my service with my wife. And that helped me adopt one of my Old Testament verses that I hold dear to this day, Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Before we even had children, I said, look, my wife, we're going to serve God. We have children. They're going to serve God. We're going to love to serve God. We're going to do it all the time. We're going to do it as a family. We're going to be there constantly all the time. By the way, we were there when the doors opened. We were there when the doors closed. Amen. We came early and we stayed late. You say, preacher, well, I'm not ate up like that. Well, amen. You don't have to be ate up like that. Amen. Just have to be Aquila and Priscilla. Amen. By the way, if you love God, that'll be a natural part of your life. Amen. We were already inseparable. My wife and I were already inseparable. And this just strengthened our resolve with biblical approval because I had been approached, Pastor Y, back over in Belgium when I was there by the Masons. The Masons wanted me to get involved in their Masonic worship. And I asked one question. I said, well, when can my wife and I show up? And they told me this, your wife can't show up. I said, what you mean? My wife and I go everywhere together. Now, this is my BC days. I wasn't saved, y'all. Y'all looking at me like, Pastor, well, you were a Christian back then? No, I wasn't saved. But I was solicited. And they told me to come on over. And I said, my wife can't come. I'm not going. They said she can get involved with the Eastern Stars. And I guess I couldn't go to that. That's the ladies. So ladies had their place. The men had their place. Never shall the twain meet. And I said, look, if my wife and I can't get involved together, I don't have any need for that at all. They said, well, I guess you're not the man for us. I said, I guess you're not the organization for me. Amen. And we parted ways. I got saved thereafter shortly. Amen. But they tried to get me involved with that, but they didn't want to have me and my wife together. And over the next several Wednesdays, maybe just tonight or next Wednesday, I want to take a brief look at how this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, impacted Paul's life in ministry. Because every time their names are mentioned, they're mentioned together. And there's something unique about this couple. And I pray that the couples of Shining Light Baptist Church will catch on to this. And by God's grace, we'll raise up more Aquilas and more Priscillas in our family to join the Aquilas and the Priscillas that we already have. Because we already have some, amen. And I am thankful that we do have some, amen. Couples that you can just count on to be there. Couples that are just going to do the will of God. They're going to do the work of God. They'll say, Pastor, what needs to be done? And we'll do it, amen. You need those type of people, amen. And Paul had found a jewel in this couple. How did he find them? Don't know. But I tell you what, it was the grace of God that he did. Because you'll find this couple over and over again. Notice, first of all, something we find here in verses 2 and 3. Notice what it says down there in verse number 2. It says, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, Italy, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. First thing I want to notice here is they helped establish the man of God. As soon as Paul came in town, he didn't have any money, didn't have any place to stay. They did several things. Notice, first of all, it says down there in verse number 3, they were of the same craft. He abode with them. They took him in. They let him stay at his house. Hey, by the way, it's always a blessing when you can count on a family that's going to take a missionary in when he doesn't have any place to stay. Amen. And he shows up and say, hey, do you have a family that I can stay with? And, you know, and there's certain families that you don't want missionaries to stay with, because you're afraid of what they're going to be exposed to. Amen. I remember back over in Belgium, one of the missionaries came through. One of the couples said, they can come stay with us. I said, well, we got to hide the liquor out loud, too. I said, well, maybe we might not want to have you stay with that family. Amen. Hey, but wait a minute. He abode with them. They had their homes open to this man. I didn't really even know him, but their home was open to him. Something else about it, not only did he abide with them there, and he wrought with them, he worked with them. So they helped get him in his home, and then they helped him with a job as well. And he says their occupation was the same. They were tent makers. So they immediately took him in. The word established means to help set up. And so they were already ready to employ and encourage Paul as he was new to their town. We're not sure again how they met. Maybe the Jewish synagogue, maybe the Jewish hangouts, maybe at the marketplace. We don't know. But Paul somehow came across this family who took him in, number one, and then gave him a job, number two, and let him work alongside them. Amen. They might have been already saved. Maybe Paul led him to Christ. We don't know. In any case, they took the man of God in and helped him get established on this new field. And we're over in Belgium. We tried to help Pastor Bennett out with anything that we could. I mean, we cut his grass. We helped him organize his house. We helped him clean his basement out. We helped him at church. We helped him with the office. We helped him clean the bathrooms. We helped him do everything. We helped him with his children. Everything that we could possibly do as a couple, we helped him out. Why? We didn't have kids of our own, so we could help him with his kids. Amen. And every pastor wants that type of a person that's just going to get in and do what needs to be done. Brother, am I right? Yeah. Am I right? Amen. Amen. Why? They're a blessing. You don't have to ask them anything. They want to help. Amen. And that's how Aquila and Priscilla are. They just wanted to get involved. And my wife and I, we're over there in Belgium. We just wanted to be around the pastor. That's all. I mean, the more we were around him, the better off life was for us. Amen. Because he always taught us something new. Always taught us something different. Always gave us a nugget to hang on to. Always gave us something to put in our little Christian cap to continue on for God. And I tell you what, the more he gave, the more we wanted. He couldn't get rid of us, amen, after a while. Said, we're stuck, brother, amen. By the way, he had just taken over the church there. He was only 2 years young in the ministry. He had taken over from a missionary, Brother T.J. Tilly. And so a lot still needed to be done. A lot still needed to be done on the building. A lot needed to be turned over still. A lot of things were still packed up that the missionary had not unpacked yet. And my wife and I just went through and started unpacking stuff. Started getting involved in stuff. Just start doing stuff. You know what? Nothing thrills a pastor more than someone who just wants to help and get involved. Amen. Has initiative. Doesn't have to be asked to do something. You know, pastor, should I pick up that piece of paper over there? Do you have to ask? Pastor, is somebody going to sweep up that dirt over there? It's been there for a while, hasn't it? Do you have to ask? Pastor, is anybody going to clean the bathrooms? Do you have to ask? Hey, pastor, is anybody going to pick up that trash out there in the yard? Do you have to ask? Just want to get involved. Just want to do something. And so they did something here. They helped the man of God to get established early on in his Christian life here, in their Christian life here. Number two, they did something else here. They helped escort the man of God. Come all the way down to verse number 18. Verse number 18. And Paul here has already preached the gospel to them. He's been staying with the Corinthians there for some time here. And they ran into some persecution. But then in 18, it says this. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, talking about in Athens, and then, in Corinth, and took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him who? Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And so they helped escort the man of God. The word escort means to accompany or give protection. Now, why did he take Aquila and Priscilla with him? The Bible doesn't tell us, but obviously they wanted to go with him. And guess what? Any pastor wants good people with him. And they came alongside him. Amen. So this couple not only helped get him established, but they helped escort the man of God. Amen. They helped give him protection. They helped accompany him. By the way, famous people or endangered people often have escorts to help them out. Paul here has got an escort by Aquila and Priscilla, and I bet they were good company. Amen. I recall back in Belgium, frequently pastor would go places. And I would say, where you going, preacher? I'm going over here. Can I go? Carmen and I would go with him all the time. He'd go preach someplace. He'd go over here to preach. He'd go over here to preach. And my wife and I tagging right along. We wanted to go. We wanted to see. What's he going to do? Let's see if he's going to say the same thing he said to us. We was curious. We like, you know, we don't know what preachers do when they go away from us. You know, we like, let's go see what he does. Followed him up there. I said, he said something totally different. He didn't say that to us. Probably good. We probably couldn't handle it. Amen. And we followed pastor just about every place he went. And we were over there. We'd accompany him and Margaret to different churches and functions and engagements that he had going on. And sometimes we just go just to support him. Say, preacher, if nobody else says amen, we're going to be saying amen. Amen. So don't get embarrassed when we say amen. He'd say something. Amen. Folks, ooh, ooh. That's my pastor. Yeah, we thought so. I'm with him. Pastor would probably say, no, not when we leave, you won't be with me. Amen. Hey, we were young Christians. We just wanted to support our pastor. We just wanted to be wherever he was going, do whatever he was doing, see what he was doing, be an encouragement to him, be a support to him. I remember he had, there was a function we went to at the graduation there in Belgium, in Brussels. And one of the missionaries' kids were graduating. They wanted Pastor Bennett to go. And we wanted to go because Pastor Bennett was going. And they made the big announcement. Everybody turn your cell phones off. And Pastor Bennett's a techie guy. And whilst it was the most quietest in the auditorium, Pastor Bennett's telephone went off. That was one of the times that I escorted myself away from him. I'm not with him. That's not my phone. And Pastor was kind of trying to find that phone and turned on. They said, we said all phones turned off. I was like, well, I'm not with him. Hey, we still wanted to go with him. We wanted to be wherever he was at. And so the Aquila and Priscilla here are going with Paul, and they're going along the side him to escort him and to go to these places. He came down, it says in verse number 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue. And so when he came down to Ephesus, he left them there as he went into the synagogue. And so they escorted him down there. You say, preacher, why? Had no idea, but they went down there anyway. Amen. They helped establish the man of God. Number two, they helped escort the man of God. Number three, they did something else here. And by the way, frequently, pastor would take trips down to France to help a sister church out down there when it was needed. My wife and I ride along there. Remember Bruno? And we'd go down there. Have some precious French people down there. I mean, precious, precious folk. And didn't have a whole lot. And a pastor would go down there and we would support them and help them out. But we would travel down there oftentimes with them. And I learned a lot about just traveling with my pastor, seeing what he did as Aquila and Priscilla. My wife and I learned a lot about him, Miss Bennett, and about the missions field and about pastoring in general. Number three, they helped explain and expound to the man of God. Come down to chapter 18 and verse number 24. find a guy by the name of Apollos here. And notice what happens in verse 23. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. And so this guy by the name of Apollos comes down to Ephesus after Paul leaves that area. And it says in verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Notice this, knowing only the baptism of John. So what was he probably teaching? Possibly baptism saves, or you just need to get baptized and wait and something else is coming. But that's all he knew was the baptism of John. And John said what? Hey, bring forth fruit meets for repentance. John said, there's coming someone else down the road. I'm just baptizing you unto repentance right now. But there's somebody else coming on the way. And so they didn't know who was coming yet, because that's all Apollos knew. But wait a minute. Aquila and Priscilla knew something else. And so we find him here not only establishing the man of God, escorting the man of God, but here they're going to explain and expound to the man of God. Notice what it says in verse number 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So obviously, Brother Thomason, I guess he's up there shucking the corn. And he's very confident about what he's saying. And this is what the Bible says. And over here, and chapter and verse, and turn or burner, get right with God. Bring forth fruits made for repentance. Just getting busy with it, shucking the corn. Eloquent and sounding good. Unlike me, amen. But guess what it says? Whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, what they do? They listened to what he was saying. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, how are you going to take someone that's mighty in the scriptures, eloquent in the scriptures, and tell him more perfectly what he's doing? You know what that takes? Humility, number one. It takes humility. Number two, it takes spirituality. How are you going to approach the pastor, the preacher, the missionary, the man of God, and tell him that what he said is not all the way right, and there is the rest of the story, so to speak, as Paul Harvey would say? Aquila and Priscilla were able to witness this mighty Apollos handling the scriptures, but only with the knowledge of John the Baptist, with his information. And they had enough humility, enough spirituality, enough diplomacy to be able to speak to this great preacher in such a way to allow him to listen to what they had to say. Let me tell you something. Every church needs a couple like that. Preacher's not going to always say everything just right. They're not going to always have it all together. And it behooves us to have somebody humble enough, spiritual enough, with enough tact to come and say, you know what, preacher, this is what you said, but the Bible says this. But it's all in how you say it. It's all in how you say it. Now, I've heard folks come up, bless God, preacher, it's not like that. You young whippersnappers, be like this. Who wants to listen to that? How about if somebody came to you like that? Would you like to listen to it? Amen. Hey, it's all in humility and spirituality. And I believe Aquila and Priscilla had that type of relationship that they could go to this man, knowing that he had come down here from Ephesus. Paul had just left. By the way, I'm sure they were protective as well. Paul had just left this area preaching in the same area. And now here comes a new preacher on the scene in town trying to undo what Paul did, but it's in ignorance. He doesn't know any better. Paul just left preaching grace and salvation, and he comes back here and says, you need to be baptized. And they're like, now, the guy that just left, Paul, said this. Now, you sound real good, and you say this. Hey, he has some impact. Hey, hold your finger there. Go over to the book of 1 Corinthians. He had some impact. Notice in chapter number 1. In chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, notice verse 10. Paul's writing back to Corinth. This is the church that we're talking about right now that Paul is visiting. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, there are contentions among you. Notice verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of who? Paul. And of who? Apollos. And I of Cephas. Who is Cephas? Peter. And I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Just by Apollos' name being there shows you that he had an impact on some people, that they wanted to follow his leadership. He was a man of stature. He was a man of eloquence. He was a man that was mighty in his proclamation of the scriptures, and he caught people's attention. Now, can you just imagine if Aquila and Priscilla had not spoken unto him the word of God more perfectly, the damage that could have caused more than what it already had caused in that church? Amen. Back over there in Acts chapter 18. Now, give me some input here. Let's just say the man of God is wrong in an area. How can you talk to him? Whether it's a missionary, whether it's a pastor, give me some input. How are you going to talk to him? What are you going to say? Jeff? And pray first. That's always a good thing. Prayer is always a good thing. Yes, Joshua? Read the Bible first. That's always a good thing, too. Preacher's wrong. What are we going to do? He made a mistake. What are we going to do? Jeff? And I like what you said, privately. Look, notice what it says there. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So obviously, they didn't do it publicly. They did it privately. So prayerfully, privately is always a good thing, because you don't want to do it publicly. How are you going to approach it? Because I'm not going to be perfect all the time, folks. And I want someone to tell me, preacher, you made a mistake. You said this and it's that. Now, sometimes I know I do those slip of the tongues where my brain is going faster than mine. And some of y'all say, yeah, I know what you mean, preacher. Amen. I know. But let me tell you a situation that happened to me. I was a preacher preaching at our church. Matter of fact, it was my pastor, Pastor Bennett. And he came over to a word in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. And he said another word. And I thought, okay. I didn't think anything of it. And he came to that scripture again and preached it another time. And he said the same word. And I said, And he said it a third time. And every time he would go to that passage, he would say that word. And I thought, that is not the word. Either he doesn't know what the word is, or my Bible's wrong. And so after about the fourth or fifth time, I was like, I'm a little baby Christian. I said, but that's not the right word. And he's saying it over again. And I kind of was embarrassed with my preacher because he was saying the word that wasn't there. And I said, Pastor, I said, this word right here, that word says this. And he didn't even know it. He had glossed over it so many times in his mind. He thought it was one word and it was another word. And I'll show you the word, Titus chapter 2. And verse number 10. And you talk about somebody shaking in their boots to go talk to their preacher. I'm a baby Christian. I didn't know how to approach him on this. Titus chapter 2. And come down to verse number 10. And it's talking about your relationship with your boss. Where am I at here? Is that the right one? Titus. Let me find my scripture here. Titus 2, yes. Notice verse 9. Now, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own master. So you're under the obedience of your master, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. So in other words, the servant is not supposed to talk back to the boss. Okay, you do what you're told, and that's what you do. But then it says this, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Anybody want to take a stab at the word that he would always mispronounce? Yes, ma'am. Purloining. Which word do you think he said instead? Joshua? No. What did he say? prolonging. Every time he got to that, he would say, not prolonging. And I thought, that doesn't say prolonging, although it fit, but that's not what it says. And he'd say, not prolonging, you know, getting your job done. And I thought, that doesn't say the same thing. But it's talking about servants, and it's talking about not answering again. It's not talking about showing good fidelity and talking about adoring the doctrine of God. But not prolonging is not the same thing as not prolonging. Anybody know what prolonging means? Stealing. Embezzling. Theft. Taking what doesn't belong to you from the company, so to speak. And so it says not purloining, not stealing, not taking what doesn't belong to you, but showing all good fidelity, being honest about yourself, having some good character about yourself, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. And so after about the seventh or eighth time of him saying that, and this happened over a course of years because he didn't preach it every week, but whenever he preached it, he said prolonging. And I said, man, I got to go to him and tell him about that, because I don't want him telling everybody about that, because that's not right. And so I finally got up the guts to go to him. And he didn't have a clue that he was saying it wrong. And I thought, wow. See, sometimes we just don't know. Apollos didn't know. All he knew was John the Baptist. And so praise God for an Aquila and a Priscilla couple that could come in there and say, can we help you out a little bit? But it's all in how you do it. It's all in how you say it. It's all in how you approach someone. Not if you come with your nose stuck up in the air.
Preacher, I know better than you. I got a PhD.
Sorry.
I got a PhD in Bible. You don't know your words.
Well, you don't know your place. Amen. I'm just saying. If there's a way to approach the man of God, there's a way not to approach the man of God. Prayerfully, privately. They happened to be able to talk to Apollos in such a way that it increased his effectiveness. Go back to Acts chapter 18. Because you can't just talk to the man of God any old kind of way. Say, we can't? No, you can't. Y'all remember them she-bears over there? In the Old Testament? Acts chapter 18, amen. And, yes. Yeah, go ahead. Amen.
Because you evidently have spent a lot of time with him, because you just told us that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And this scripture here, I don't know whether it's so much the time that he spent with him in verse 20, but I think when you spend time around your pastor and you know him, you know he has his best at heart, and when you approach him about something, he won't take it from
him. Amen. 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 Brother Thomason, give us some input on that. How would you instruct a Christian, whether it's a young Christian, a middle Christian, or a seasoned Christian, how to approach a pastor or missionary? They've said something wrong. What would you say? Hallelujah. And not text either.
Nothing irritates me more than getting emails from my members telling me what I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was wrong, it still just irritates the fire out of me.
Amen.
And another thing is, do you guys have a connection card, a prayer card, or anything that you visit? Like, for example, even your visitor's card.
Mm-hmm.
We have a prayer card that people turn in. And I've even gotten the pulpit recently and said, if you have a complaint, don't put it on the prayer card. Because my secretary now goes through the prayer cards, and if you have a prayer request, she gives it to me. If you have a complaint, I tell her to throw it away. So you're just wasting your ink. And but don't complain through email.
Amen.
I think the way to do it also would be to maybe I'm misunderstanding something. Mm-hmm. I would take it first as it was, I've got the problem, not you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't approach him and say, Pastor, you know, you've got a problem here. Mm-hmm. Something you've been saying. Mm-hmm. I would go to him and say, Pastor, I'm missing something here. Help me understand. Mm-hmm. You know, you keep saying that Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin. And I'm thinking that the Bible says that he was. And so help me to understand why you're saying that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I'm using extreme. If he's saying that, you need to be telling him to look for another church. But I would approach it as, I must not understand. Help me to understand that. I even approach my people like that. If I've got a complaint with them, I approach them that way too.
Amen.
I'll just say, look, I know you, I love you, and I know you love me, and you love God, and you love our church, and so help me to understand what's going on here. I feel like that this is, you know, this is not correct.
Amen.
And when you say to him, I feel like, it's difficult for him to, you know, that takes the pressure off. It just kind of ratchets everything down to where we're not in a conflict now.
Amen. Amen.
So, number one rule, do not do it through email.
Or text. Hey, man, Brother Scott, give us some input. You got down in Mexico, because I'm sure you face that.
I hardly agree with what the brother has said. A young man, my assistant, came to me, and I had done something, and there was a problem with some material I had. And he said, Pastor, I have really been studying. He came in humility, and he said, I've really been studying. He said, this looks like, to me, what do you think? And it wasn't a direct accusation. It was, Pastor, I'm kind of worried about this. Mm. And right away I saw, we got a problem. You know?
Amen.
I got a problem. You know, better do something like that.
Amen.
And so I really appreciated this. He'd studied it out. He thought about it a long time.
Ago, amen.
And then he came to me and talked to me. And I appreciate it. I really did.
Amen. Praise God. And I've had folks come to me, and, you know, some have come in humility and trying to help me out. Others just trying to come to correct me. Hey, man. And, you know, it's God's job to correct his man. But if you come in humility, you know, there's not a preacher or a preacher's wife or deacon's wife that's not going to listen to you coming that way. And I believe that he came in such a way as that. Now, I was a young Christian when I went to Pastor Bennett. I didn't really know how to go to him. And I just said, Pastor, you know, this is what I've heard you say over several years. And I'm just trying to see, you know, is that how you say this? Or, you know, because I didn't know the word when I was baby Christian. I didn't know what that word meant. I looked it up in a dictionary and I thought, okay, this says that. And looked up in the concordance. I said, it says this. And I said, okay, so there's a problem somewhere. But guess what? The problem got rectified because of how I approached him. And as Pastor White said, I had a relationship with him where I could talk to him because I wanted to help me and I wanted to help him. And I was really trying to protect my preacher. I don't want him saying stuff that's wrong to people. They look at him crazy. I'm like, look, that's my preacher. Don't you look at him crazy, amen? And so I was looking out for him as well. So turn back to Acts 18. Thank you, brothers, for that input. I appreciate that. Acts 18, and then we're going to end up with this. But notice what happened at the conclusion. Verse number 27 says this in 18. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them how much? Much, which had believed through what? Grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Guess what? John the Baptist in the back seat. Now we ought to be. Jesus Christ in the front seat. And so whatever they did in their exposition and expounding of the scriptures to him and how they took him unto them privately and prayerfully and spiritually and counsel, it showed out publicly in the scriptures. And he began to preach Jesus Christ. And so you won't find a better example of a husband and wife team that's consistently together than Aquila and Priscilla and what they did and how they did it in helping establish the man of God over in verses 2 and 3, escorting him in verses 18 and 19, explaining and expounding down here in verses 24 through 26, and so that the work of God would continue to go on. And so we'll look at a couple more areas of Scripture here outside of Acts next week, where the same couple is mentioned by Paul and some of the things that they did. But, you know, Paul found this couple, and that's the kind of couple that every church needs to have. Every church needs to have that Aquila and that Priscilla, that husband and wife team that are right there, right beside you, that can help you out in the ministry.
I know I want more. I've got some, but I want more. Amen. Why? Everybody can have that potential possibility to be an Aquila and a Priscilla if you're going for the Lord. Amen. Together. And that's a decision that you have to make in your own heart. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And God will bless that. And God will bless that life. Amen. Again, Brother Scott, thank you. And Brother Thompson, thank you for your input. I appreciate that. Before we close, anybody else want to make any other comments about this couple and what they did in these areas here? Any comments, anything on that? Amen. Good couple. Search these guys out. We're going to look at them in the book of Romans and the book of Corinth and see some other things about them next week. But I won't be here next week. Brother Will will be preaching next week. I'll give you my notes. No, I won't do that, brother. When I get back, we'll preach that. Man, it's Vacation Bible School when I get back. Y'all got to wait 2 whole weeks. They give you a chance to go and study Aquila and Priscilla out a little bit more and see what we're going to talk about on their lives. Amen. Well, we're going to do this here in just a minute. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Ladies, you're going to meet up front with Mrs. Dawson, and she's going to go over a few things and have you guys pray here. Men, let's get a prayer partner, and we're going to go and pray. Brother Thompson, you and your dear wife, if you want to stay, you can. You don't have to, but when we pray. And Fred, you've got the children. Going to take them back. So Fred will take children that are 11 on.